Welcome to Prison Pipeline, produced at the studios of KBOO Portland. I'm Karen James. Classroom 4 is an award-winning documentary filmed inside Columbia River Correctional Institution in North Portland, Oregon. The film documents a course taught by Lewis and Clark professor Rayko Hillier that brings together 15 undergraduate Lewis and Clark students with 15 incarcerated students to learn about the history of crime and punishment in the United States. In early November, after the film premiered in Portland, I met with the students to discuss their experiences learning together inside an Oregon prison. We are here at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland, Oregon, where the new film Classroom 4 just premiered. Dr. Rayko Hillier, along with several students, held a Q&A, and the audience is leaving the theater. With me are students from Dr. Hillier's class, including formerly incarcerated students. They are Maddie Selby, Sophie Relman, Nick Fiveoaks, Joshua Wright, Gabe Messer, Leo Crespo Cervantes, and Rami Jaggers. So Maddie, Dr. Rayko Hillier conducts a special course inside an Oregon prison called Inside Out. Tell us about this class.
Yeah, so Inside Out combines 15 outside students, which are students that are undergrad students at Lewis and Clark College, and 15 incarcerated students at any of the prisons that it's being taught at. This specific course took place in 2023, and it was very special. We learned, it was a history class, and we spent time learning about the history of mass incarceration, its origins in history through the slave trade, policing, and up until modern day. Then we started learning about abolition and where we go forward. And the class really focused on connectivity between incarcerated students and outside students.
So Professor Hillier has been conducting this class since 2012. So Rami, you have taken Professor Hillier's class. Talk about your experience taking this class.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was probably the single class that sticks in my mind more than any other class I've taken. I was really nervous for it at first, and it's like obviously a totally different environment to any other Lewis and Clark class, being conducted inside the prison and then with incarcerated individuals. I think I also found it to be one of the most emotional experiences I've ever had. It was obviously you learn a ton, and the subject is history, and you learn a ton of history. But I think what kind of stuck with me more than anything was the relationships I made in the class, and this kind of like shared space that we created. I think I cried more in that class than I cried, at any previous time, right? Like, it's one thing to hear about, the nature of prison and what it does, and it's something very different to see these burly grown men, crying, talking about their stories. And I think that's like when I saw there was one guy who was, probably 6'5", 300 pounds, and seeing him cry was like totally, I think, changed my life a little bit.
How did it change your life?
I felt like if this guy in this environment, he's in prison, he could suffer serious consequences for like showing this vulnerability. If he can be doing that in this environment with the experiences he's had, then I'm, totally capable of, being vulnerable in this environment, being vulnerable in the outside world. Yeah, talking about my experiences openly.
And Joshua, what year did you take this class with Dr. Hillier?
With Dr. Hillier, I took this class in 2015, 2016, and I believe 2018.
Talk about your experience taking this class.
I was in prison for the whole time, and so every time it was offered, it was kind of a brief ceasefire in the violence that was prison, and it was a very cathartic and rewarding experience to be able to be seen as human again and to be able to grow effectively and kind of in a classroom setting is such a rare environment for that type of facility. And so being able to do multiple things at the same time, not only be seen as human, but to grow as a human amidst others was such a blessing that I've always remembered fondly.
Did you come willingly to the class? What were your expectations or fears taking this class?
I did come willingly. I was trying to take anything that could distract my mind from the monotony and the kind of hyper-masculinity and hyper-violence that prison induces. As has been said, we do a lot to keep people away from us and keep people afraid of us. And so anything that was the opposite of that in that type of setting was very wanted and needed. So I pursued a lot of different education and programming and started a few myself. And it was very helpful to just be in a different place temporarily. Granted, the second we left the room, as also has been mentioned, we had to go back to that mentality and that kind of hyper-masculinity and violence of prison. But while we were in there, we could just be ourselves. And that was such a blessing in a place where you cannot be that.
Sophie, you were a student from the outside, from Lewis and Clark, that went into the prison. And you were in Classroom 4, the documentary made about this course. So first of all, what was your preconceived idea about a prison or adults in custody prior to going into the prison?
I had the privilege of taking Mariko's previous class on the history of mass incarceration that couldn't be in prison due to COVID. So we took it as a normal class at Lewis and Clark. And so we read a lot of the same material. And that sort of opened my eyes a lot to a lot of the different themes that were discussed in class. But it was a totally different experience to take it in prison with a lot of these people who, you know, a lot of them said that they hadn't spoken to anyone other than their own family for like 20 years. And that was incredible to be a part of that. And also to, I guess, growing up, you are taught that people in prison are there for a reason. And, you know, they're scary and have, you know, killed people and all this stuff. And that, you know, may be true partially, but Raker's class helped sort of undermine those preconceived stereotypes that everyone is human and more than, you know, the worst thing that they've done. And everyone was really empathetic, and we were able to create a community space of sort of sharing about our lives and talking about, you know, history and our own history and bringing it to the class. And that was incredible to witness everyone's experiences and learn that we were all really similar to each other in ways that I didn't expect.
So we are here at the Clinton Street Theater. We have just watched the film Classroom 4 that documents Professor Hilliard's course. Nick, you were in the film Classroom 4. You were incarcerated. You were one of the inside students. Talk about your experience.
The experience with this class was a lot like Joshua had said. My limitations communicating outside of my family or other inmates in the institution was basically that. Having the ability to talk with students from the outside and have legitimate conversations about important issues, you know, that not only have started this system of incarceration, but where we can go today is very important because it's continuously opening eyes, it's continuously opening minds about where we can go from here. How do we change the system? You know, what things are viable out there for us to say this works and this doesn't work. It was also important to me myself because it gave me the ability to actually learn how to communicate again in a way that I wasn't just talking to my family every day or, you know, other inmates in there. It gave me the opportunity to talk to strangers, you know, for the first time in a long time, which, you know, really helped me, you know, process myself before I got released. It gave me the confidence back that I can have a conversation, that, you know, that I'm not still stuck in this system of, you know, basically just shutting up and watching everything with my eyes. And, you know, it gave me a step forward for my future being out.
And Nick, how long were you incarcerated?
I was incarcerated almost 16 years.
And how did you all view your convictions or the reason you were in prison prior to taking this course with Professor Hillier and learning about the history of incarceration in the United States? Joshua?
I think that for me, before I took the class, prison has a good way of kind of boxing you into what you were convicted of. So for me, it was burglary is what I was found guilty of. And I started to think, because you're told over and over that that's what you are, that you are a criminal, that if I'm a criminal, then I should probably learn how to be one. I should probably learn how to break into houses. I should probably learn how to break into cars, because if that's what I'm going to be labeled as, I should probably be able to do it well. And so going into that class, it was kind of learning about criminality and learning about how to survive in the prison system, because it was my first time being in it. And then after the class, it was a reminder that, like, even if someone did do something wrong and someone did do what they were convicted of, there's so many things behind that conviction. Like, if someone was robbed a liquor store, why were they so desperate enough to rob something in the first place? And what were the socioeconomic conditions that caused that for them to reach that point? And so I started to see myself through the historical lens after this class of, I was a byproduct of a society, and there is other ways of going into society and then moving about society. And so instead of leaning into this label that was placed on me, I lent into like something else, that I could be anything I wanted to be, and I could pursue and I could learn and I could educate myself about something completely different if I chose to. And this class kind of offered that window to me, that I didn't have to stay in that box. I could still be me. I could still be what I was and what I am underneath all of that.
Did anyone else experience that growth after taking this class, as Joshua experienced? Leo?
Yeah, I think the class was really impactful to me personally. The reason I took the class in the first place was because my father was previously incarcerated, and he died about 3 years ago now. We didn't really get to reconcile fully before his passing, and for me, taking the class was a chance to get to see not only what his life was like inside and see like what he had to go through, but also a chance for me to break down some of the barriers I had put up for myself. I think in a large part, the class taught me how the prison not only exists in every institution that is a prison, but that was mentioned in the film, the prison structure exists everywhere in society if you look for it. And I think what I really took from that class was a way, that class ultimately was like abolition in action. We were building relationships with each other that went beyond the walls of the prison. We were taking the inside outside and the outside inside. And in a lot of ways, I think that is the most important thing that I took with that class, and I still live with it every day. The realization that every individual is worth humanity, every individual is worth being treated like a human. You don't know what they went through. You don't know what they have gone through and what they will go through. And to treat everybody with kindness and empathy and be able to see everybody eye to eye and listen to them is just the most important action anyone can do. It takes a bunch of individuals to make a change, and that's what this film is the culmination of, a bunch of individuals working together, making things happen to make a change in the world.
Maddie, you were an outside student from Lewis and Clark.
So I had a very, very similar experience to Leo. I grew up in a family where both my birth parents, my aunt and uncle, were all incarcerated. So I came in with a perspective of, I don't think I like prisons, but I know that prisons have kept people that have harmed me away from me. And this really changed when I went in and I could look other people in the eye who had harmed people or who had been harmed. And every life is a universe. Every life is so, you know, sometimes we become narrow-minded and we don't recognize that in other people. We just see other people and we don't stop to think that they are experiencing life as vividly as we are. And this class just showed me that. It really reminded me of that and reminded me of my experiences and of how I've been lucky to be able to break a cycle, because so many people aren't able to do that. And I think about the people I spent time with every single day of my life. I don't think there's a time where I don't think about them. Like, with seeing this film, my first thought was, no one else is seeing it in that class because they're still incarcerated. And that made me feel sick in a way. But I think this class is truly beautiful. It's, like Leo said, abolition in action, and one of the best experiences of my life.
And Gabe, you were not in the film Classroom 4, but you did take Professor Hillier's class. So talk about your experience taking the class and going into the prison.
Yeah, it was amazing. One of the elements of the class is that the prisoners don't have to tell us what they did to become imprisoned, and we are not allowed to ask as outside students. And throughout the course of the program, some people did tell their stories, and many did not. But I think what that ultimately, the intention of that was to cultivate an environment where these people could be redefined, like everyone else was saying, could define themselves and take agency within that, both on the inside and the outside. And it led to this incredible experience of everybody. I mean, these people that were strangers on the first day that were being filtered to us through everything that we thought we had known about prisons and that everybody on the outside world sort of thinks about prisons, you could see it just slowly dissolving and dissolving, and these people became friends, and then this like real love developed for each individual person in there as they became more of a realized person, and we became more realized people together in that room. It was a profound experience.
Nick?
That is one of the things that I can appreciate. When we came into this class, we were no longer inmate such and such. We were no longer a state ID number. We had a name. The outside students called us by those names or our nicknames, which was fine, because sometimes it just makes it easier. But that's one of the things that I appreciate the most that I got to take away with me, is because, you know, like I said, some guys, you know, have family members that are able to show up and visit them. And that's who you get to see from the outside, whether it's in person or it's on the phone. Having somebody wear something other than blue, you know, in a large group was, you didn't see it, you know. It was either blue from the inmates or gray from the, you know, correction officers. It was such a, it was euphoria, you know, for us to be out of that element for the 2 hours that we had in that class every Friday. But like I had said in the movie, it was going to end. And it was one of the hardest things that I had to deal with in a very long time. You know, I would rather do 6 months in a hole again, because I don't have to think about anything. I get to think about all these people who became friends to me, who mattered to me, who shared part of their life stories with me, you know, and you wonder about how they're doing, what they're doing, and, you know, if things in life were okay for them. It was at its stress for a moment, but getting to know them and see them again for the first time in a very long time, I wouldn't change it for the world.
Leo?
I think the biggest thing that the course teaches you, and what's most pertinent, is that history is always now. It's always happening. And learning about the history of prisons was just learning about a cyclical cycle of punishment and pain and suffering. And it just really was the biggest takeaway, is that we can make history now, anytime that we choose to. It's just a matter of what we're capable of together.
As the students meet each week in the prison to study the history of crime and punishment in the United States, they explore concepts such as mercy, justice, the evolution of the carceral state, and prison abolition. I ask the students, where do we go from here? Maddie? Yeah.
I think it's not so much as systematic changes. I think it's the whole thing. It's, we can't, Braco mentioned in the Q&A, releasing people. That's like the minimum step of what we can do, because the entire system is built on, as Leo said, cycles of pain, cycles of enslavement. We can directly link the prison and mass incarceration to the enslavement of Africans in the Americas. We can directly link prison labor to chain gangs of Jim Crow South. And to me, as a historian, I have studied systems, and a system that starts out with broken and with the inherent dehumanization of people cannot simply be changed. It needs to be abolished. And it's hard to say where we go from there. There's so many things that we can start with, but I think it's a lot more than inner systemic changes.
Gabe?
I think like where we go from here is, you know, people listening to this, like all people can understand the circumstances of daily life as very constructed, as like Reiko was saying earlier. Everything that exists right now has been created and is part of a historical lineage. And in that way, like, as individuals, we should be questioning systems and circumstances. And we should question what we take as common sense, especially specifically when it comes to the prison system. We should question why we believe that it is common sense for it to exist in the way that it exists. And I think that's the first step in breaking down the walls and breaking down the sort of like baggage between us and the people inside and the walls of the system itself that keep perpetuating and causing harm.
Joshua?
Yeah, I think another answer to where we go from here is recognizing and understanding that prison as a necessity isn't needed. And in order to truly help a society, you have to solve the underlying issues of crime. And in this country, we tend to blame crime on an individual, and we don't fix what caused the crime. And so in order to go the route of prison abolition, there are models that we can use, like restorative justice, if we need accountability and to hold people to what they've done. But there's also the fact that there's still underlying issues. If people were happy and all their needs were met, they don't tend to commit crime. If you are, you know, peaceful and you have all that you need, it's really, really rare for a human being to just go out and harm someone or steal something or commit some type of crime because your needs are met. And so if we get to a point in our society where we meet the needs of our citizens and our populace, then prison would very rarely even need to be a discussion, let alone, like I said, the models in place of it, such as restorative justice, where you wouldn't need to put a human being in a cage to think that that will save them.
Nick?
One of the problems is what Joshua is saying, is that they put you in a cage. Basically, in a nutshell, they warehouse you. There is no reform, you know, even in the prison system that we have today. And that's an issue, because warehousing somebody or putting them behind bars in a very small cell for 23 hours a day because they're in the hole or they're in isolation somehow, some way, there's nothing in place, you know, to say, hey, you know, how do we correct any of this stuff? Prison reform can happen in so many ways, you know, with alternative incarceration programs. They have measures in place like Measure 11, and that's just a flat base. You did this crime, so you're going to do this time. They're not looking at the whys of it. You know, they're not saying, okay, well, this was going on at this particular time for this particular person in this incident. They're just saying this crime this time. They don't look at you as an individual. They just look at you as a statistic. And that is the wrong way to go about it, because not one shoe fits every scenario. And that's how they want to treat it. How do we get around that? You know, start looking at every case individually, start looking at, you know, the what's and the why's, and see if we can figure out a way to correct that, you know, and not only that person, but just in our society. Because if you start following the patterns, it's going to lead you somewhere besides a courtroom and handcuffs.
Maddie?
A theme I think that's particularly pertinent in the film is this idea of everyone is better than the worst thing they've done. And what would happen if we froze someone at a certain age? And the thing is, the carceral state, that is exactly what they do. They freeze someone at the moment of the crime. And like Nick was saying, there's so much more that goes into that. And something I'd ask the audience to consider is, what would happen if you were frozen at your worst moment? And what would happen if that defined you? And I think that's what happens to every single person in the world who is incarcerated, specifically those who are incarcerated in America.
Leo?
I think one of the questions was, how do we move forward with history? And I think another thing that I'm thinking about now and realizing is this film, Classroom 4, is being shown all around the United States, but it's not being shown in any prisons. It's not being shown to anybody inside who could actually watch it and see something that could change their lives and make them realize, this is something that can help me propel me out of here. And I think that that's something that we need to think about. It's a privilege to be able to watch this outside. What about everybody inside who doesn't get the chance to watch this film?
So with the tablet system that's in a lot of the prison systems, in the state of Oregon at least, they're trying to get it put on the tablets in there for the inmates to see. There are some states, because you're an inmate during the time of filming, they will not allow it. And those are going to stay out of those prison systems in those states. But they're trying to get more and more traction and go forward with this and a lot of these media tablets that they have in prison.
This is Prison Pipeline, produced at the studios of KBOO Portland. A special thank you to all of the students and to Dr. Reiko Hillier. And thank you for listening.